It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Everybody, happy Friday. Big Friday because we've got to make football picks today. Big Friday because, well, we had big college basketball last night that we need to get to. Some Thursday night football last night that we need to get to. Fridays are always fun. Later in the show, we'll be joined by TJ Cleland. We'll be joined by Brandon Zinner, Paul Savage to help us make some of those picks. So we are really looking forward to this day. And we're to that point of the season where, you know what, it also comes off those college basketball games last night. So looking forward to it. The IHOP hotline will be open for you all the way through the first hour, 869-1240. It's, of course, brought to you by IHOP, where you can celebrate the weekdays, the new IHOP house faves, all your favorites, just $6 Monday through Friday. We will give away some Cody Jinx tickets for next weekend. We will give away some HTO iced tea and coffee. For whenever you'd like. That's all coming up on the show today, so stay tuned for your opportunity to win those prizes. Jad Chambers producing. I'm Jacob Albrecht. Tommy Kester right here with us. Tommy, how are you this morning?
I'm good. Happy Friday. Good to see you. It was a busy evening last night. I know that you were at the Shockers game last night. I took my kids to the zoo to see wild lights. We went to that yesterday evening, so it was a busy night all the way around, I think, for both of us.
It was, and we'll get into the Shockers, which is a fun thing to talk about right now. We'll get into K-State, maybe not quite as fun as they really disappointed last night against LSU. I don't think anything to panic about, but certainly something that we can pay attention to. And, of course, we'll get you ready for games for the weekend. We'll get you ready for football for the weekend. It's going to be fun. Yeah, went to the game last night. It was a good time, pretty good crowd, I think, for a early-ish, you know, early season Thursday night game. You and I and all the history there, Wichita State now moves to one game over 500 historically for these two generally great basketball programs. But it was good. It was good. The energy was good. A good vibe, I think, from this team continues, Tommy. I think in other circumstances, they probably could have won by an even larger margin. We were talking after the game, and we'll dig into it. But yeah, we love going to Shocker games, and we love when the Shockers are good. It's just it's a fun environment to be in, and I'm glad that it's trending back in that direction for the season, because it's a fun thing for the community. But Tommy, I got some beef here.
Okay, what's going on?
Well, a lot of people like me took the cover last night. Some people like me took the over last night, and we were all victim to the double bad beat. Double bad beat. Now, this is rare in the betting world. The double bad beat. Look, we're happy the Shockers won, and we'll get into all of that, and that's far more serious and important. but I got to take this aside. So our pal TJ was there shooting the game, and he put this video out there. I reposted. So if you didn't see this, so here's the situation, and we're not the only ones. And shout out to the great listener who stopped me on my way out of the arena, laughing his tail off, because he was also on the Shockers cover. He listens to the show, and we were just like shaking our heads at it. So, A, there were a lot of questionable calls down the stretch, some missed free throws, things. But we come down to the final possession. So the over-under, Tommy, is 152.5, and the Shockers were favored by 7.5 points. Okay, so I'm with one of our good friends, my wife. And my wife, by the way, is just so confused by all of this down the stretch. Is, you know, we're kind of, we had early in the game, it started very slow. And I looked over at our buddy and I was like, yeah, my over's in trouble, but it's not out of the woods. And so we're kind of throughout the game, just during timeouts and stuff, trying to do that math. And then, you know, they hit a bunch of threes to start the second half. And I'm like, okay, we're back in play here. My wife just like, it's like we're speaking a foreign language. She's like, what are you talking about? I was like, don't worry about it. So we get down to this final stretch, and the Shockers, I can't recall what happened. I said, here's what we have to have. We got to have the Shockers. I think they were shooting free throws. Like, they have to make these two free throws in order to hit both of these. They got to make these two free throws, and then we got to have you and I come back down the other way and get a quick miss. And so sure enough, hit the free throws, come back the other way. You and I gets the quick miss. Harlan Beverly gets the rebound. You and I is doing everything they can to foul him to extend the game. And the refs just decide they're not going to call it, and they're going to let the time expire. And go watch the video that's out there, because it was egregious. And I'm screaming, like, call the foul. He's trying to foul him. Call the foul. Of course, if it's 152.5, the game ends at 152. And it ended at 6 points. The cover was 7.5. They call that foul. Harlan Beverly goes down and hits both free throws. We get both legs. It was an epically bad double bad beat, which just was, which was honestly a lot of fun and funny. But yeah, that there were certain members of the crowd who were noticing the same thing I was, and everybody's just screaming like, "Call that foul!"
I mean, can you blame the referees though? I mean, they wanted to get out to watch the end of Thursday night football. Like, they needed to get out early.
They were having a bad night too, so they probably were like, you know what, we better get out of here. Shocker fans are always hard on the refs, and I'm not usually hard on the refs. I don't buy into that. I think over the course of a game, most of the time, there are calls both ways. You obviously don't like the big ones under the spotlight at the end of games. They were having a hard time in the second half. I'll just say that. Like, there were some pretty bad calls going against the Shockers. So they probably were just like, you know what, let's get the hell out of here. Like, we don't need to call that foul. They're up six. There's no way you and I is coming back. There's 3 seconds left. Let's just let the time run out. But my goodness, fellas, there are people with other things on the line here in these games. Let them go shoot those free throws now. But in all seriousness,
they should know that people have money on this.
Well, they probably should, because it's becoming a big part of sports. Not so much in college, but in the pros. Like, you got to call the calls all the way out. Yes, that should be happening. Even if there wasn't anything on the line, a foul is a foul is a foul is a foul is a foul. It's just like at the end of a game, I'm like, oh, you got to swallow your whistle. No, you don't. If it's a foul in the first 2 minutes, it's a foul in the last 2 minutes. There's nothing in the rule book that says, here's the definition of a foul if the game's tight late. No, BS. If it's a foul, call the foul. Anyway, but that quick aside, because it was funny. Honestly, it was very funny. And I wasn't the only one laughing about it, even though I, you know, it cost me whatever, $10 or whatever I put on it. The game itself, though, Tommy, I thought was very good. And I think in a different circumstance, Wichita State probably could win that game by 12, 15 points. A couple of interesting things, I thought. So, A, winning that game is a big win, right? I think Arrow continues to be pointed upward. If there are takeaways, for me, the top takeaway is Corey Washington leading the team in shots. Leading the team in scoring, but leading the team in shots and providing what we all thought he was going to provide this team all along. I think seeing that last night was a very good sign for Wichita State. I will tell you this, on the other side of that, I think right now when Quincy Ballard is on the floor, this team is like really good. And when he's off, they still have some work to do. Mate had a nice night offensively. He's a great passer. He continues to be a great passer. I think there's a physical component defensively for him that he's still going to have to acclimate to, because the big, you know, country strong looking dude for Northern Iowa, Hudson, was kind of having his way when Ballard wasn't on the floor. He had 22 points and was kind of just pushing his way down low, you know, bully balling it a little bit. So I think, you know, as we see Mate get acclimated, it's that defense for him that will be really important for the Shockers, because there are going to be a lot of games where Quincy Ballard gets in foul trouble. There just are. And he did last night. But man, is he a weapon for them defensively when he's out on the floor, and offensively to some degree. But I think it totally changes the dynamic of the team with him out there. But he could only play, you know, Tommy, he could only play 17 minutes last night. And with him only playing 17 minutes and knowing what I just said, they still won that game by 6 points. And they also let their foot off the gas late and tried to run the clock out a little bit. Right. So in other circumstances, I think they could win that game bigger. I have almost nothing but good takeaways from the game last night. They're athletic. They're fast. Their energy is high. Their vibes are good on the sideline. Like it's all pointing upward right now for the Shockers.
I think that's really important. And just knowing that, you know, the environment or the vibe, if you want to call it, it is up, you know, and it continues to be up through the first three games of the season, I think is incredibly important. You know, I go back all the way to the very beginning of last season, and for the life of me, I can't remember the team that they played the very first game of the season, but it was a no-name team, and I remember the Shockers struggled against that team. You know, they won the game. I'm going to go back and look and see exactly who that was. It was all the way back at the beginning of the season. Lipscomb maybe that they played to start off the season, and it was, you know, not a great win for them. And I just remember the vibes not
they
being,
won that one by 17.
Okay. I remember there being a game where it wasn't like overall positive very early in the season. And that sort of set the tone, I think, a little bit for the way things were going to go moving forward last season. So knowing that they got off to a great start, they're out of the gates in a good way. They, you know, go on the road in a fairly tough environment in Western Kentucky to start the season. They beat Montana State by 20. They hold off Northern Iowa last night in the Roundhouse. Like, all of those things continue to, you know, I think build my optimism that as we work through non-conference play, as they go and play in the holiday tournament that they're playing in and then get into American conference play, you know, that things are, again, continuing to look positive and solid for the Shockers. And, you know, I was looking at KenPom yesterday. I know you look at KenPom quite a bit. The Shockers, at least before the games last night, the Shockers were third in the American in KenPom, you know, and so that's about where I think that they should be. They should be in the top three consistently in KenPom, you know, and I think that if they can maintain that and continue that, that's going to continue to bode well for Wichita State.
They made a pretty significant jump in the KenPom. They went up to 83 after last night's game. That would leave North Texas ahead of them, and I believe Memphis. So they stay three. But honestly, those three teams are looking pretty good in the KenPom right now, and Florida Atlantic's right under them. I would say this, not to rain on the parade, but just to say, let's proceed with some caution. Remember, they started last year 7-1 and finished 8-18. Okay, so I if you look back last year, you know, I don't remember what Lipscomb ended up being. Remember, they had the win against Western Kentucky. It was going really, really well until they hit that really difficult portion of that non-con, which included Missouri, Kansas State, Kansas, and then they went right into AAC play. I would say, though, and maybe you agree, maybe you don't agree, we're only through three games. I think this team, even through the first three games and what we saw, like, it looks better than last year's team did.
It certainly looks better offensively. There's a night and day difference from the way that, you know, they've been able to shoot the ball so far through three games compared to what they did for the entirety of this season last year. And that's important. I mean, you know, they went through the game last night shooting 43% from the field. That's pretty good. I mean, that's not bad. 40% from three, you know, so those are percentages that I think everybody would have killed for last season from this Shockers team. So that was clearly a priority in the offseason. That's clearly delivered through three games. Of course, the test is going to be how long can that hold up? How long can that persistent continue?
I think it can for a while, because I think, again, back to my point of like the most important takeaway for me, Justin Hill is, his motor is strong. Like he is, and we talked to him this week, and you go back and listen to that interview on the Odyssey app. First time we've had a chance to talk to him. He's going to be, I think, their most consistent offensive weapon because of the energy and the speed at which he plays, especially on offense. I think his is always going to be there. We hadn't seen it yet from Corey Washington. We saw it last night. You know, we saw what he's capable of as a shooter. It was a complete game for him. The Shockers still kept it under 10 turnovers for the game, by the way, which is always a good sign and what we want to see. They didn't have a ton of assist on shots. The game really slowed down. Like, the over was absolutely the play last night. And you know, there were, you know, it got off to a slow offensive start. And then for the last 5 or 6 minutes, when the Shockers had built up a big lead, they ran the clock down on every possession, which is the right thing to do. And so it did slow down a little bit, but they hit a ton of free throws. They missed a couple of late that you wouldn't like to see, but they were around 80%, I think, which is where they need to be. Tommy, they shot 40% from three
again. I know. Yeah.
Like that's, and they didn't take a ton of them, and they don't need to take a ton of them. But if they shoot that kind of percentage, it's just another element to the offense. That's where, like for me, that's where all the, because we know that DeGray and Beverly and now Hill, those are all like high energy, high athleticism type players. But now you're seeing Xavier Bell shoot the ball really well. You're seeing, we thought and we hoped Corey Washington would be able to do that. Like, so we're seeing all of it come together. And offensively, I agree. I think that it's going to be consistent. I don't think there are going to be a lot of nights where this team doesn't score 75 points or more. What are they defensively? I'm not sure yet. To my eye last night, they're a significantly better defensive team, though, when they can have Quincy Ballard on the floor. And I think the acclimation defensively of Mate Bozniak is going to be one of the keys for this team, because Ballard is going to get in foul trouble, right? Like it's going to happen.
And we know his injury history.
Yeah, there's a lot on Mate's shoulders in that regard to be able to step in and not lose something.
There is, and he had a really good first half offensively. He led all scorers with 9 points.
He looks fine.
He finished with 9 points, so it wasn't like he did much in the second half. But you know, I think that one thing that is important to keep in mind that I really noticed, I think, for the first time last night, and probably will continue in some capacity in some regard, is just the overall trust in a number of players that Paul Mills has. It's not like we saw really like huge minutes from anybody but Justin Hill. He played 33 minutes of the game. He was the only one that played more than 30 minutes for the Shockers. You know, Paul Mills at this point in the season, I don't know. I think it's a combination of him having a level of trust in a number of players, but then it's also just getting people acclimated and figuring out what the main rotations are going to look like. But Corey Washington only played 24. Quincy Ballard played 17. You know, Ronnie DeGray played 25. Xavier Bell, 24. So, you know, you've got a lot of players that are playing between that 20 to 25 minute span, and then a couple that are, you know, between 15 and 20 from there. So there's a large number of players that are hitting the floor. Will that continue as we get later into the season? I would say it's doubtful, because I think that will.
I think it is. I think these nine guys, injuries aside, yes, I do. So AJ McGinnis has been another guy, kind of like Corey Washington, where it's like, what is it? But he's a big time shooter. He scored 8 points in 16 minutes.
Yeah.
So, you know, of all of those nine players, which I do think will all see significant minutes, and I like it, by the way. I love that he can, because it keeps their energy sky high, right? All of these guys can play with great speed, great energy. You know, and of those nine, I don't know how to even ask this or know this. Like, Bijan Cortez is probably the only one of the nine that doesn't strike you as somebody who can go get like double digits or be the offensive leader in any particular game. I don't think Quincy Ballard's ever going to do that. And so I'm going to take the bigs out and Bozniak. Maybe they can if they get the right matchup. But of all the guards and forwards, to me, it's really only Bijan who doesn't have that ability offensively or the likelihood to do it. And that leaves Paul Mills a lot of options. And, it's matchup based. It's hot hand based. It's shooting based. Corey Washington got all his in the second half. They clearly just sort of rode him, and that's fine. That's great. I don't know. I don't know which of the nine would be held out. I really don't.
Yeah.
I think it's this nine man rotation as long as they're healthy. By the way, they're the only nine that saw the floor last night. Like, it wasn't right. More than that.
And to my point, the reason why I think that it may not be entirely this fairly equitable distribution of minutes is because what I would love to see happen is maybe one or two other players outside of Justin Hill assert themselves as players that Paul Mills cannot take off the floor. That like you need to have them out there because they're going to be most effective. And is that Corey Washington? I would imagine that's probably
I think so. The
next best player outside of Justin Hill to maybe assert themselves. It'd be great to see Xavier Bell, potentially be one of those guys too. So I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. I think that's a good thing if that does happen, where you see Corey Washington, maybe Xavier Bell, creep up in minutes approaching 30 or maybe even slightly over 30. And then you've got one or two or maybe even three guys that are playing a little bit more minutes at the expense of somebody else. That would be, I think, the positive way for that to, sort of morph itself into having a more equitable distribution of minutes for nine guys.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric I4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Harlan Beverly and Ronnie DeGray just scream like the classic Shocker seniors to me, the stat filling, stat stuffing all across the board. So I'm really glad to see that out of those two guys in their second years. Xavier Bell's ability to get to the free throw line is becoming a major weapon. Now, look, we're all roses today. They won the game. I feel like they could have won it by more. It was fun, but it just feels like this is a team that compete in the American is the big point for me. Like they're big. They have a lot of length. They're athletic and they can come at you. And if they can come at you with nine guys, it's going to be high energy, start to finish. Last night they pulled back because, the game script dictated that they do that. But it's a lot of fun. It's not a lot of fun for K-State basketball last night against LSU. We'll talk about that and we'll look ahead to the college basketball weekend as we roll forward here on Sports Daily. I want to say thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up each and every morning here on KFH. Don't go away. Jacob Albrock, Tom McCaster, we're coming back on the other side. All right, welcome back, everybody. Fall Country Club is always fun. You can still play golf. I'm going to try. I think we're both trying to play at least a little bit of golf. I'll play as many holes as I can today.
We can talk about golf. I'm just, Working is important, right? So let's be on the down low a little bit, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
So well, I'm not playing golf.
Okay. Well, I am.
If my boss is listening, I'm not playing golf.
I am, boss. Tony, I'm playing some golf today. I'm off TV on Friday, so I always try and go out and play. But anyway, there's still tennis. But the reason I bring any of that up is it's not just that. So there's a mixer this evening out there that we're going to go to. Free food, free drinks. There's all kinds of that stuff. And there is a social-only component of membership. So if that's something that interests you, you can go out to Crestview and you can check out that kind of membership. Tell them we sent you at Sports Daily. We appreciate them. Tommy, K-State last night. I didn't catch the first half because I was at the Shocker game and making my way home. And it appears that there was a bad run in this game for the Wildcats, and then the margin just stayed that way the rest of the game. So, you know, like, I'm not that concerned, I guess, is my point on this. They had a 16-2 run in the first half, LSU did, and that basically kind of stayed the margin. So I think when you play this kind of game, and by the way, it looks like LSU's going to be pretty good. Right, it looks like they're a legitimate team this year. They'll be a good SEC team. Ken Pom has them at 37, which is very respectable. So you take that. You don't like that this happened at home. That part is maybe the most concerning. But it's the what is their officially third game, and there was one bad run, and everything else it was neck and neck with LSU, which we thought it would be. So I don't take too much negativity away from the things that we've liked about this team. I mean, it was a Doug McDaniel game. First time we've seen that. He took 15 shots in the game. And David Gasson, again, Tommy, you know, is going to be one of the guys, I guess, for this team. The one thing I would ask you about everything is Coleman Hawkins, 8 points only. And he has not been probably the player most thought he would step right in and be. Any concern with Coleman Hawkins at this point?
Well, I mean, I think that there's a little bit of an adjustment period, and we see this all the time with players that are moving teams in the transfer portal, that it's a different coach, a different system, a different environment, all of that. There are expectations with Coleman Hawkins, though. I mean, he was one of the most prized players out of the transfer portal when he ultimately committed to Kansas State. So, sure, I mean, I think that three games in, you would like to see more, at least offensive production from Coleman Hawkins. Was that the reason why Kansas State lost the game? No. I think there were two main reasons that the Wildcats lost. They were absolutely crushed on the boards, and LSU's bench outplayed Kansas State's bench. Those were the two major takeaways for last night. And those are the things that Jerome Tang talked about in his post game. He talked about how his team was not effective on the glass, and LSU was able to get in there and grab the rebounds. And that was what the deciding factor was. Cam Carter looked more comfortable playing inside Bramlage than the guys that he had played with a year ago at Kansas State. He scored 20, which is right at his average so far through three games. And so I think that was another component as well. But overall, you know, Jerome Tang lamented the fact that he felt like his team wasn't ready and that, they dug themselves a pretty deep hole in the first half and they could never get out of that.
Well, that rebounding is, it almost got doubled up. Yeah. And I would tell you this too, this jumped out as I was trying to go back through last night. LSU turned the ball over more than two times what Kansas State did. They turned it over 16 times in the game to Kansas State 7. And K-State loses that game by double digits. That's pretty shocking to me. But yeah, when you get doubled up in rebounds, that's going to happen, right? You can play sloppy if you get every rebound. So is that a long-term concern? I wouldn't think so. Not with the size that Kansas State can bring. So again, I would toss it to the side a little bit, and we'll see what happens moving forward. They do not play, nor does Wichita State. So they both played that Thursday. They're not playing this weekend. So K-State, we see them again at Bramlage against Mississippi Valley State on Tuesday. The Shockers will not play until Monday. So they'll kind of skip the weekend game as well against Monmouth. KU's the only team, Tommy, that we do see this weekend, and they'll play Oakland. And this, bye game, they should win by a billion. Oakland's a team that's been in the NCAA tournament sometimes. Not anybody. They're inside the top 200 of KenPom, so we could see that as an NCAA tournament team down the road as well. But as far as your weekend college basketball goes, you know, it's Oakland this weekend against KU. It's not the most thrilling college basketball weekend.
Yeah, I think going back real quick, my final point on Kansas State is that really what the Wildcats need to do for the rest of the season is cheer on LSU. You want them to be as good as possible. You want them to be a contender in the SEC because that needs to be, I guess, as good of a loss as it possibly can be come tournament time. That was a game that I know a lot of folks had circled on the calendar as potentially at least a decent quality non-conference win potentially for Kansas State. Well, now that the Wildcats didn't win the game, you need LSU to be really, really good. And then that way that, you know, it certainly can't help your resume, but it certainly will hurt at the least if LSU is really good.
Yeah. And the good thing is, like, I don't think that it matters for K-State because of what they'll see in the Big 12. Like, I think they're every game that they play in the Big 12, I say every, almost every, will end up being like a quad one, quad two game. It's going to be nuts. But yeah, you'd like to see LSU be good. When we get to, you know, bubble talk potentially, yes, you would like to see LSU be good.
Remember a couple of the teams last season that in the non-conference that K-State struggled with, that they lost to, you know, USC and Miami. Those were a couple of teams that they lost in the non-conference. I think the biggest one, though, and probably the one that is most related to what we saw last night, remember when Nebraska beat Kansas State in Bramlage last season? Now, Nebraska made the tournament, so it ultimately didn't hurt the Wildcats as much as it probably could have. But yeah, I mean, depending on where this team finds themselves in March and approaching Selection Sunday, you'd like to see a team like LSU be really, really good. That way it helps negate that loss.
I think you definitely don't want to see them be bad.
Exactly.
As much as anything else, because it's going to be a home
loss.
And
that's why with Nebraska last year, at the time, yeah, I remember everybody being like, oh my God, that's a terrible loss. Then Nebraska made the tournament and it made it a little bit better.
Yeah. It's a good point. I'm not overreacting to it. And I'm not overreacting to the Shockers beating Northern Iowa either, who lost by 20 points at home the game before to UC Irvine, who's probably pretty good. UC Irvine, the Anteaters have been a good program. But it's an early season game. We had two of them. We don't get one this weekend. We get KU in Oakland. I don't think there's a ton that we'll take away from KU in Oakland. But that's your college basketball, and that's okay because we get a massive football weekend, and we don't have that confliction in our lives like we did last weekend, quite frankly, this time around for the weekend. So that's your weekend of football. Of basketball. That covers it. We'll leave the IHOP hotline open for you the rest of the hour if you want to chime in on the Shockers. If you want to chime in on K-State, you can do that. The old-fashioned way, and give us a call, 869-1240. You can do it the new fashion way and leave us a voice message on the Odyssey app, which is really cool. If you're listening on the Odyssey app, just push that microphone button. It sends us the voice message. Or you can leave us your video comments on Facebook, YouTube, X. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected. It's all there. Let's start our first giveaway, then we'll take a quick break. Can't remember which order we did this in yesterday. I think we did Cody Jinks first hour, so we're going to switch that up. We'll do Cody Jinks next hour, so stay with us for that. This hour, we'll do our HTO giveaway. You can win a free iced tea, a free iced or hot coffee drink. You'll get a chance to win one of those. A quick reminder, order your Thanksgiving gallons right now. If you do a pre-order for Thanksgiving at HTO, you can get buy three, get one free. And all you do is you come in, you decide whether you want to pick those up on Tuesday or Wednesday, the week of Thanksgiving. You put that pre-order in, it'll be ready to go for you. And you can get a little discount on it as well. So do that. But here's your chance to win the free drinks. All you got to do is text keyword TTEA to the short code 20357. You can enter once per day, message and data rate supply. Good luck, everybody. We'll be back. More Sports Daily right after this. On your way into work, want to keep listening to Sports Daily even after you park the car? With the Odyssey app and Odyssey.com, you can. Just download the app, visit Odyssey.com, search for KFH, download the Odyssey app today to get started. Welcome back in, everybody. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster. Thursday Night Football, interesting. I was waiting. One of Tommy's favorite things to do is rub in when I'm maybe incorrect on a take. And I've gotten a lot of Bengals texts over the weeks here of the NFL season. I stopped getting Philadelphia Eagle texts from you, though, Tommy. I was wondering about that last night as they were. I mean, they missed a bunch of field goals, but they were pretty dominant in that game against the Commanders. Now 8-2, two games of separation for them. Boy, all of a sudden they have a, you know, a respectable, if not good, defense, and they're getting healthy. Still think I'm crazy for saying the Eagles are good?
No. Look, and I don't argue the fact that they're not talented. I mean, they are talented. They're good.
Well,
they're
no, there's a good difference. Not, yeah, they're good. They're a good not team. Just talent.
I don't trust them, but they're a good team. I don't think they fully all the time play to the potential. I think they might be, you know,
I think they're
overall,
starting to.
They are. But I think that they have a collection of talent that is probably unrivaled in the league. I mean, I would even say that, you know, like they're up there probably with the Chiefs. I think they're a more talented team than the Lions are. But I think the Lions play to their potential more often than the Eagles do. I just don't overall trust the Eagles week to week. That's just, I think they've got a ton of talent.
I think they're as talented as the healthy 49ers. And I think they're as talented as the Lions. I think they're different than the Lions. But I mean, here's what it is for me. And did I pick them to play the Chiefs in the Super Bowl? I think
you did. Yeah.
It's the Saquon Barkley piece of it.
He's a damn cheat code. I mean, he was absolutely incredible in the second half.
But it does take the pressure off. And that's part of it for me, is because I'm not a huge Jalen Hurts guy. Like, I like Jalen Hurts, the play. I like his attitude. I like all those things. I think he is not the most gifted thrower in the league, right? And so, but for me, when they brought in Saquon, it was like, boy, that's going to take a lot of pressure off of Jalen Hurts, because now he can pick his spots with those talented wide receivers that we know they have. And the other big difference is, you know, I guess, to Vic Fangio. Like, all of a sudden, remember last year before last year's draft, they went and they got all those high-end defensive players coming off of the Super Bowl, and we're like, why is the league letting Philadelphia do this? Like, how are they getting all these? Well, they didn't really pan out last year, and they had that bad stretch. Well, now all of a sudden, some of those defenders are looking real good. And so we've got this team here that I do, and they will now after last night. But as people talked about the NFC, I think the Eagles were going under the radar. It's all been Lions, 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 and wait till the 49ers get healthy, and maybe Packers. And look at how amazing this turnaround is for the Commanders. And the Eagles have just quietly sort of put this good defense on the field all of a sudden. And this stretch of games that they're playing, they've given up 12. We'll go back here to week three, Tommy. 12. Then they got smoked by Tampa, right? And that's kind of when, that's probably when you were rubbing it in on me. And I'm like, yeah, okay. But then they came back and they've given up 16, 3, 17. The Jags game was weird, 6, and 18. I think their defense is kind of hitting its stride. And I do think this is becoming a very dangerous team as it pertains to the Chiefs that we need to be paying attention to.
I think one thing to keep in mind about the Eagles, and I know you tuned in after you got back from the Shockers game, so it was the second half. The Eagles looked really poor offensively in the first half. They looked really poor. And some of that is Washington's defense. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And Dan Quinn has done a great job in building up what he wants his defense to look like. That's what he does. But the Commanders held the Eagles to 3 points in the first half. And they looked pretty pedestrian early on in that game. It wasn't until not only the second half, but the fourth quarter that the Eagles exploded. And then that was, you know, it was obviously Saquon being able to find seams and then, you know, break off those big runs to get into the end zone both times that kind of, you know, separated things out and made it more of a distance between those two teams. But in the first half, yeah, the Eagles looked pretty average. They looked pretty poor in the first half. It took that fourth quarter for them to really turn things around.
And that's what I thought too. And then I caught up with a podcast that they missed two field goals, you know, so does 9-7 at halftime look a little better? They left, you know, they left an extra point on the board. I just, what makes them more dangerous than even I thought they'd be is that their defense is playing well. I didn't know how good their defense was going to be. I just knew they had all these weapons on offense plus Saquon Barkley, right? The fact that their defense is starting to play well, that's to me the scariest part of what the Eagles could be. in the postseason. Rick is with you. He said he's more worried about the Chiefs without Harrison Butker than Nick Sirianni coaching a team. You're right, Rick. The Butker news is big. It's very big, honestly, and it kind of snuck up on everybody. Didn't even know that was a thing. The Chiefs like to play tight games. Yeah, that's significant because it's not just missing a game. He's going to IR, Tommy. So, yes, yeah. I agree. Nick Sirianni, though, if like that thing last year was really bad when they lost those games. But if you look at his totality as an NFL head coach, like I feel like sometimes there is and I don't think you do this, but some people do that say like he's the worst coach in football. Dude's 41-19 over his career with a playoff appearance and every year he's been a coach. Like he's not that. He lost his coordinators. It hurt last year. He's finding a groove again. I think he's unlikable in a lot of ways, but I don't think he's a bad coach. I think his in-game decision-making is questionable, but I think he has his team prepared and they're playing up to their potential most of the time.
Well, I go back to what PJ Glasser said yesterday, that a lot of what made Nick Sirianni really, really successful out of the gate was he had great coordinators in Philadelphia. And that's the truth. I mean, both of those guys are now head coaches with other teams, Steichen and Gannon. And, you know, those guys are not there anymore. And I think that last season, especially, that was kind of exposed a little bit. And I think that's a huge reason why Sirianni went out and hired Vic Fangio to coach the defense, because, you know, he's a highly acclaimed and legendary long-term defensive guy in the NFL. So that has helped for sure this season. I think last year,
he's 18-8 without those coordinators.
Here's the thing. So I think we can separate the debacle last year and then what this year has done so far, because I think that last year there was this mindset from Sirianni that he thought, you know what? I lost Steichen. I lost Gannon. I don't need those guys. I'm the head coach. Like I can make, and then everything fell apart for him. I don't like Nick Sirianni, but I have to give him a little bit of credit that he went out this offseason and he went and got good coordinators again, at least defensive coordinator, right?
We can separate those two things, 100%. Right? Whether you like him or not, or whether he's a good coach. And yeah, he lost those coordinators. He's 18-8 since those coordinators left. So I think sometimes he catches a little bit of a bad rap. I think he's a better coach. Unlikable? I'll give you that. For sure. He coaches the Eagles. I hate the Eagles. It makes me want to vomit that I'm even throwing them flowers. Like, they're one of my personally least liked teams in football, but they're really good and they're 100% a threat when we talk about the real threats to the Chiefs' chances to win a Super Bowl. Speaking of the Chiefs, they'll be a part of our picks. Big game this weekend. Significant news with Harrison Butker. And I think, too, interestingly, I don't think, Tommy, that the line has moved minus Butker, which is interesting. It's still 2.5. No Butker. Chiefs play a lot of close games. We'll pick that one. We'll pick the others. We'll go full house. TJ Cleland in-house. Brandon Zinner joins us probably from the golf course. Paul Savage will be in. It'll be fun. We'll be back with it. We're making picks on Sports Daily when we return.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.